You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't forget Dog Pound. Be sure to tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. with Inside the Cleveland Browns and 11:30 with Browns Countdown, getting you ready for kickoff between the Browns and the Bengals. Happy to be joined in studio by Browns wide receiver Brian Hartline. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So as you sit here, obviously, coming off of that tough game, how does the team rebound and get refocused and ready to go with the Bengals?
You know, winning and losing, after about, I would say, Tuesday, wins are wins and losses are losses. So, although it happens in different fashion, I think that, again, by Tuesday, listen, we let another one slip away in unconventional fashion, but nonetheless, it's still a loss and it's still one less. So, overall, move forward and get ready for Cincinnati. And we're fortunate to have a good conference game. A division game coming in, and it helps us focus.
All right. You're going to also have your third straight different starting quarterback in as many weeks as it was Johnny against Pittsburgh, then Josh, and now Austin Davis. Seemed like you guys had a pretty good rapport as he came in. You were the target of 4 of his 10 passes. What did you see from Austin Davis that gives you confidence going into this game?
You know, I think the first series he was pretty fired up, but he was able to calm down really quickly, and I think he saw things pretty clearly. I mean, the ball was coming out of his hand. I know every time I turned around and other guys turned around, the ball was right there. So that's a good sign. He's not holding on to it. He's seeing things clear. And, again, we're fortunate. You know, we have guys, three guys, that played a lot of significant football in that room. So for him, yeah, maybe a new offense. But overall, he has the experience. He got comfortable. And he had a great week of practice this week. So I'm excited to see what he does come Sunday.
Prior to that game against Baltimore, had you had the opportunity to get many reps with him as the third stringer?
Not a ton. You know, and I want to say he did probably come in towards the end of camp.
After camp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that's right. So, for me, no, we haven't had a lot of chance. I got a chance to watch him and catch some balls and do some routes on air. But, no, not a lot of live bullets.
What is it about this week of practice that stood out for you with your rapport with him and also just what he's doing as a starter for the Browns for the first time?
He's communicating well. And I guess the biggest thing I've noticed is we really are continuing to progress and install and get familiar with things. And it hasn't slowed us down. Sometimes you can kind of feel the reins pulled a little bit. But that hasn't happened. You know, I think offensively, although maybe kicking too many field goals throughout the year, we've moved the ball pretty fairly on the majority of our opponents.
Yeah.
So we want to continue that, and Austin's given us that chance to do that. And we saw that a lot this week in practice. I mean, the ball is coming out of his hand. The ball is on time. And obviously he's not going to be perfect, but he likes to throw it. And you can tell he has a really good keen eye for placing the balls in the right spot.
Have you ever had to have three quarterbacks in a season before?
You know that you say it. I'm trying to think. I want to say I have. I may even have had four, and I'll just throw some names at you. We had Chad Pennington in Miami with Chad Henne, and I believe Tyler Thigpen, and I know Pat White was in there somewhere. So we potentially could have had four. I don't know about starting, but if my memory is correct, we at least had four playing at some point that year. So, and I was almost in there too. But with that being said, I think I have. Yeah, I think I have.
I heard you were the emergency quarterback before they brought Terrell Pryor in.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself in that position both in Miami and here. But, you know, you just want a guy that is able to communicate clearly, get everyone kind of lined up, and really can try to do his best. But I'm glad that Terrell can have that role now.
On a Thursday night, do you ever watch any NFL?
Hit or miss. It just depends.
Did you see the finish last night?
I did not see the finish. I actually was one of those situations where it got late. I gave up on the game. So, you know, it's just crazy to me. You know, this NFL. I mean, between our game and then you just go through it, whether the face mask was a face mask, and then to chuck that ball the way he did, and then to have a clean catch. And there's just so many variables. It's unbelievable. It's a crazy game. Hope their fans enjoyed it. But, man, talk about a blow to the Lions. I mean, they dominated that game.
Absolutely.
Hence why I turned it off for the majority of that game.
Yeah, it's three straight games now if you go back to the Sunday night game that ended it with a walk-off.
It's a pretty crazy year.
That's right. It's good for the National Football League. Yep. All right, Cincinnati the first time around. What can you learn second time against a division opponent that can help you this Sunday?
You know, I think for us, we're probably a little fortunate just because they're still status quo. I mean, they haven't changed a whole lot. Their personnel hasn't changed a whole lot. I couldn't see them wanting to change a whole lot with the way the game worked out for them. Hopefully we can refine and take a fine comb through our game plan and just be prepared. I think the biggest thing, like I said, I mean, I think it comes down to we shouldn't be too surprised on what they want to do. They've been doing it with success, and they did it with success against us the first time. So as long as we execute and then do what we're planning to do, we should be in the right positions.
Do you consider the Bengals to have one of the better cornerback groups that you go against?
I think that they do a good job of playing their scheme. I don't mean that in any negative connotation, but I think that there's probably guys just like, I mean, even myself, you can go find guys that are probably more athletic or faster or stronger or whatever, but it's about playing football. I think that's what these guys do. I mean, they do a great job in their front seven. The guys know that, and they play that way, and they really play good football. You rarely find them out of position, and a lot of teams throughout the NFL can't say that. So take it for what it's worth, but I think they do a great job at what they do.
What did Josh McCown mean to this team in terms of just being a leader and the toughness that he showed out there?
I mean, yeah. Fortunately, he's still around. I'm glad that he's here and he's helping Austin and he can continue to communicate with even myself. I don't know if I've played with a guy with a bigger set of cojones than I've ever been around. I mean, this man, between broken ribs and or cracked ribs, whatever they were, and his shoulder and a collarbone. I don't know if anybody ever had a collarbone.
He threw a pass with a broken
painful.
Collarbone.
Yes. And not only did he throw a pass, he thought he could throw another pass. So, I mean, you put your hand down on a table and give someone a hammer and you tell him to hit your hand when you know it's about to hurt, that's essentially what he did in the huddle. I mean, he knew the play call coming in. He knew he was probably going to that corner route, and he knew it was going to hurt. And he still went back there and gave it his all. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think I've been around someone that's that, tough. So it says a lot.
My second year on the sideline, just getting to see the game up close, and I've never seen anybody
it's impressive.
What he
it's
has.
Impressive. I mean, he does it because he's so passionate, and it speaks a lot to his character. I mean, because if you really follow his history and his career, I mean, when you're out of the league, it is harder than heck to get back in, and it just shows you. I mean, that's just who he is, and that's how he's built. And we like it or not, I mean, he's a Cleveland kind of quarterback, and he stood in there and he literally gave it everything he had.
Absolutely. Now, the other has he been a big influence, do you think, on that quarterback room? Because other than him, it's a lot of spring chickens now with Johnny and Austin and Connor Shaw.
There's no doubt. I mean, I think that a lot of time, your team or your group or your room can follow the leadership in the individual rooms. I mean, it always trickles downhill, like they say. So he's in that room. He's voicing his opinion, him and Coach McConnell. I mean, I think that they have great rapport. They work, really extremely hard together, and he does it the right way. So there's no doubt that he has an impression, whether it be subtle or not, on that entire room.
As for Johnny, we know he messed up. We know he is dealing with that right now. How has he responded to his demotion, at least from what you've seen in practice and things like that?
He hasn't gone into the gutter. He hasn't, hit. He's still being himself. He's very, cheerful. He's still working hard, and that's how Johnny's always been. I think that a lot of times, a guy kind of going in the tank doesn't help anything. So, he probably acknowledges it, and I can't speak for him, but he probably acknowledges it. He's moving forward. I mean, he hasn't wanted to define him. And like you said, I hope he has the right mindset. Listen, one step back can be four steps forward, and that's okay. And I think that he's taking that mindset because he's practicing well. He's staying engaged and, communicating with the coaches and the quarterbacks. So he's still there. He's doing a good job.
How satisfying was the Buckeyes' victory over Michigan State over Michigan for you?
Very satisfying, especially the way they did it. Yeah. That was important. It looked like we probably didn't have a chance to get into the conference game, so it was important to make sure we went out on the right foot. I mean, even for the seniors, there's a lot of great seniors on this team that we'll see in the future and down the road in the NFL. So to go out that way in that fashion in the big house, well-deserved, and now we wait and see.
All right, last question here. Adele's song, Hello, which is – you can't go 5 minutes without hearing it.
I was like, at first I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All right, so Adele, if you have to listen to one Hello song for the rest of your life, Adele Hello or Lionel Richie Hello?
Adele.
Adele?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. She's pretty good, man.
She's pretty good.
I
mean, she can sing it out.
I guess it depends what kind of mood you're in. I think if you're like in, you really start rehashing your entire history. Like,
yeah.
So, no, I'd go Adele.
I think it's also what side of the breakup you're on.
Yeah, it's true. There's no doubt.
If you sent somebody packing, you can go on Adele. Yeah. If you were sent packing, maybe it's not.
I'm not going to lie. I listened to that whole CD, so they have a taste of both sides.
She can sing. Yeah. Hell yeah. About. Brian, okay. We certainly appreciate the time. Good luck on Sunday against the Bengals.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you got
Hello.
This is good stuff there from Brian Hartline.
I like Lionel Richie myself.
Yeah, where would you go on that? Adele hello or Lionel Richie hello?
Well, because it's so fresh in my head and I do hear it every 5 minutes, I'm going to go with Adele hello.
I've always been a Lionel Richie fan.
Yeah, how are you not a Lionel Richie fan? You have to be a Lionel Richie fan.
You just went against it.
That was before your guys' time. Not
before my time.
Yes, it was. It was a little before your time.
It was a little before Will.
So it was your time is before my time.
Yeah, my time is before your time. I'm a little older than you.
I know that.
He's about, according to the kids, by the kids' definition of generations, he's like 8 generations older than you.
Okay.
At least 6.
So, Hartline obviously seems likes Austin Davis, gets the ball out on time. We'll see what he can do this Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850, and we will also hear from Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com at 2 o'clock to preview the Bengals and the Browns. The latest update, by the way, doubtful. Tyler Eifert is doubtful for this team. That is good news. Why? Tyler Eifert had 3 touchdowns against the Browns in the first meeting, and he leads the NFL with 12 touchdowns on the season. We'll be back with more. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this.